Proverbs chapter 25, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Our text primarily is going to be verses 4 and 5. But let's begin reading in verse number 1. These are also Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. The heaven for height and the earth for depth and the heart of kings is unsearchable. I want us to notice verses 4 and 5. The Bible says, take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. That word finer there is simply speaking of the refiner. That one that takes the silver and heats up the furnace and gets rid of all of the dross, all of the impurities off of the silver. And so the Bible says, take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel. Whatever that vessel may be, maybe it's a serving platter, maybe it's a pitcher, but we do know it's made of silver. We do know that. But whatever that silver is made into, that vessel, the Bible says, is fit, if you will. We'll see that in another passage later. It says, there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. And so tonight I want to bring you a message entitled, The Finer's Finest. The Finer's Finest. Father, we ask that you'd help us tonight. Father, we ask that you'd teach us. Father, remind us, challenge us, encourage us, whatever the case would be tonight. Father, your word does all of that. And Father, we're asking that you would do that in our hearts tonight. Father, we ask that you'd help our children, our teenagers, our workers next door. Father, we thank you for those that, Lord, just jumped in and helped clean up everything tonight. We're so grateful for that. And Father, we just ask that you'd give us a good night. And I pray that you'd teach us and help us, whether it be us in here tonight, whether it be our kids or our teenagers. Father, teach them tonight, and we'll thank and praise you for it. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. We don't know exactly when Hezekiah found these Proverbs. If you'll notice verse number 1, we do know that he found them. And the Bible says he had his men, probably some of the scribes, to copy these Proverbs out. It says, these are also Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. We don't know exactly when he found them, but I would suppose, and I would guess, and it's just a guess, but I would guess that he found these probably early in his reign, or really even maybe before his reign. And I say that because I want us to take our Bibles, and we're going to be back and forth primarily. We're going to be over here in 2 Kings, and I'd like you to take your Bibles and go to 2 Kings 18, 2 Kings chapter number 18, and then we'll go to 2 Chronicles as well, and we'll see a little bit of the reign of the account of the reign of King Hezekiah. And I say that I believe he probably found these early, if not maybe was taught them even as a young person, because of how he reigned. If you remember again here in Proverbs 25, especially verse number 5, the Bible says, take away the wicked before the king. And can you imagine a man like Hezekiah, maybe right at the beginning of his reign, finding these Proverbs and saying, hey, that makes sense. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Hezekiah may have said to himself, you know, not all of the kings have done that, but you know what? That sounds like something I ought to do. That sounds like something that if I'll put that into practice, if I'll listen to that, if I'll obey that, then maybe, just maybe, my throne will be established in righteousness. Notice what the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 18. We'll begin reading in verse 1. Verse 3 is where I want us to see, but let's begin in verse 1 of 2 Kings chapter number 18. The Bible says, now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. Now, by the way, his daddy Ahaz was not a good king. His dad Ahaz was a wicked king, the Bible says. Verse number 2, by the way, that tells us that even if we don't have a spiritual heritage, that doesn't mean we can't have one. Even if we didn't have a mom and dad who followed God, even if we didn't have a mom and dad who taught us the Word of God, we can still have a spiritual heritage even if it begins with us. And by the way, it didn't begin with Hezekiah. It began way, 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 way back with his great, 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 great granddaddy. We'll see that here in just a minute. Verse 2, it says, 20 and 5 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 20 and 9 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. Notice verse 3. And this is why I believe that he found these Proverbs early in his reign and probably was taught them even as a young man. In verse number 3, the Bible says, "And he, Hezekiah, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David, his father, did." Now, David wasn't his direct father. David would have been his great, 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 great on back grandfather. But he knew about David. He would have known about Solomon, David's son. And the Bible says that Hezekiah did that which was right according to all that David, his father, did. We know that Judah, and we'll see this tonight, we know that Judah experienced revival during Hezekiah's reign, and it may have been a direct result of Proverbs 25, verses 4 and 5, where the Bible says, where Solomon, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, "Look, if you'll take the dross away from the silver, then what will come forth is a vessel that is fit for the finer." It's fit to be used by the master. And then in verse 5 he says, if you take the wicked, whether that's a wicked individual or just wickedness, if you take the wicked away from the king, his throne will be established in righteousness. And friends, tonight, church family, it doesn't matter what the vessel is tonight. Every vessel ought to be fit. Really, let me say it this way. This is our title. Every vessel ought to be the finest available for the finer to use. The finer tonight, the refiner, if you will, is God Almighty. The vessels tonight, they're us. The vessels tonight, whether it was Hezekiah's kingdom was a vessel. Hezekiah himself was a vessel. Tonight, we are vessels. Individually, as Christians, we're vessels. Our church is a vessel. Your home is a vessel. Your place of business is a vessel. And it is to be the finest vessel ready to be used for the finer. Hezekiah wanted his kingdom to be established in righteousness. And that ought to be the same desire that we have in our hearts tonight, is that our hearts, that our church, that our homes, that our businesses, whatever vessel we want to put in there, would be established in righteousness. And by the way, that only happens when the dross is removed. We're only going to have the finest for the finer when the dross is removed from the silver. Let me give you three thoughts tonight, three truths, if I could. We'll develop those a little bit. And hopefully, prayerfully, this will be a help to us tonight. I want us to see, first of all, there are contaminants which corrupt. There are contaminants which corrupt the vessels, or really more specifically, that corrupt the silver. There are contaminants which cling onto the silver, which makes it not as fit as it could be. First of all, tonight, there are contaminants which corrupt. Let me give you these two real quickly. A contaminant is that which is, number one, worthless. A contaminant is that which is, secondly, wicked. A contaminant is that which is worthless. That's what we read in Proverbs 25. He said, take away the dross from the silver. And he says, what's going to come forth is a vessel for the finer. And that word dross, it means that which is worthless, that which has no value. It means impurities. So a contaminant, first of all, is that which is worthless. Listen, sometimes we have things that could connect themselves to us, that cling to us, that may not be sin, but they're worthless. And they attach to us and they cling to us. And before we know it, we've got layer and layer and layer and layer of dross on that vessel that God desires to use. A contaminant is that which is worthless. The word dross in Proverbs 25:4. A contaminant is that which is wicked. We see there are contaminants which corrupt. Look here in 2 Kings chapter number 18, and we'll see some of the contaminants that had attached themselves to Judah, to the kingdom of Judah. We're just talking about Judah. Hezekiah was the king of the southern kingdom of Judah and Benjamin. And they had a revival under Hezekiah, but why did they have to have a revival? Because there were some contaminants that had attached themselves to Judah. Look what the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 18, verse number 4. The Bible says, he removed the high places, and break the images, and cut down the groves, and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, speaking of Hezekiah, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. We see, first of all, in verse number 4 of 2 Kings chapter number 18, the first or one of the first things that Hezekiah did is that he removed the idols. One of the contaminants, one of the corruptions that had attached itself to Judah was idols, just like the northern kingdom Israel that we saw Sunday night. And we saw that Jeroboam had made the two calves, and he put one in Dan and one in Bethel, and he said, these are your gods, Israel. You don't need to go back to Jerusalem to worship. You can worship right here. And just like Israel, just like the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom had allowed idols to come into their lives. And Hezekiah removed those idols. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 31, and I'll reference 2 Chronicles tonight as well. You don't necessarily have to turn there, but 2 Chronicles chapter number 31 and verse number 1, the Bible says, now when all this was finished, all Israel that were present went out to the cities of Judah and brake the images in pieces, and cut down the groves, and threw down the high places and the altars out of all Judah and Benjamin, in Ephraim also and Manasseh, until they had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned, every man to his possession, into their own city. So we see the first contaminant were the idols, and Hezekiah removed the idols. Let's look at the second contaminant. Let me read, if you would. You don't have to turn there. You can. But 2 Chronicles chapter number 29. Let me read a few verses here real quickly tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter number 29 and verse number 3. A second thing that Hezekiah did is that he repaired the temple. A second contaminant that had attached itself to Judah is that they had shut the doors of the temple. Hey, we preached even Sunday night, and we rail against Israel and rail against Jeroboam and say, you built those two calves, and you put one in Dan and you put one in Bethel, and you sent the people to worship there, and you caused Israel to sin. But Judah itself had closed the doors of the temple in Jerusalem. No better. 2 Chronicles 29 and verse number 3. The Bible says, he in the first year of his reign, speaking of Hezekiah, in the first month, notice this, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God and have forsaken him. and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord and turned their backs. When he says the habitation of the Lord, he's talking about the temple. He's talking about the place where they were supposed to come and worship. And he said they have turned their backs and turned their faces from the habitation of the Lord. So the first thing that Hezekiah had to do, he had to remove the idols. The second thing he did is he repaired the temple. Because they had walked away, they had turned their faces, they had turned their backs on the temple. And said, we've got more important things to do than to go to the house of God. And there where God's people should have been the finest for the finer, the finest vessels for God to use, they had dross. Layer after layer after layer after layer of dross had collected on them, and they were not very usable whatsoever. He removed the idols. He repaired the temple. Thirdly, we could read, but I just for a second time, we're not going to read all that tonight. But thirdly, he restored the worship. He repaired the temple, and after he repaired the temple, he restored the worship. In 2 Chronicles 29, verse number 20, the Bible says, then Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. And they brought 7 bullocks and 7 rams and 7 lambs and 7 he-goats for a sin offering for the kingdom and for the sanctuary and for Judah. And he commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord. And the rest of the chapter from verses 22 all the way down through 36 is speaking about the restoration of the worship. And then in chapter number 30, verse number 1, and Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. Now, did you notice that? He didn't just send letters to the southern kingdom. Bible says he sent letters to Ephraim and Manasseh as well. He said, listen, y'all need to come. The temple has been repaired. We're going to have the Passover once again. He restored the worship. He restored the Passover. He said, y'all need to come. You need to come back to Jerusalem. Verse number 2, for the king had taken counsel and his princes and all the congregation in Jerusalem to keep the Passover in the second month. Year after year, layer after layer, the dross, that which was worthless, that which was wicked, the idols, the temple being closed, the worship, they had turned their backs, they had turned their faces on the house of the Lord. They're contaminants which corrupt. And listen, today we have to be careful that we don't allow the things of this world to attach themselves to us and to allow layer after layer of dross to come upon the vessels that God so desires to use for His service. We see, number one tonight, there are contaminants which corrupt. A contaminant is that which is worthless. A contaminant is that which is wicked. What did Hezekiah say? Or actually, what did Solomon, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, say? He said, if you'll remove the wicked from the king, his throne shall be established in righteousness. Can I say this tonight? If we'll remove the wicked from our homes will be established in righteousness. And I'm not talking about a wicked person. I'm talking about the wickedness sometimes that we allow into our homes. If we'll remove that from our homes, if we'll remove that from our churches, if we'll remove that from our businesses, Hezekiah said, look, I want my throne to be established in righteousness. And if that's going to happen, then the dross and the wickedness, that which is worthless and that which is wicked, must be removed. Number one, there are contaminants which corrupt. Number two, there are pots which purify. That's what the word refine is all about. Would you take your Bibles and look back in the book of Proverbs, if you would, to two verses, Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter number 17. There are contaminants which corrupt, but secondly, there are pots which purify. Those pots are called refining pots. Those pots are where the heat is turned up and the furnace is turned up and the silver that are in those pots, they're heated up, and what comes to the top is the dross, that which is worthless. And they take that dross and they blow the oxygen on it, they blow the air on it, and it removes the dross from the silver. And what is left after several heatings, what is left is silver. What is left is gold. What is left is the finest for the finder. Look what the Bible says here in Proverbs 17, verse number 3. The Bible says, the fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. Let me say this tonight. There's no greater pot, there's no greater refining fire than God Almighty Himself. The fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. Look at one other verse quickly, if we could. Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27 says almost the same thing. Proverbs 27, verse 21, the Bible says, as the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. We see, secondly, tonight, not only are there contaminants which corrupt, but secondly, there are pots which purify. Go back to 2 Kings 18, if you would. I pray that you'll hold your place there, because we're going to keep coming back here. And I want to submit to you tonight some of what some of those pots are tonight. This is not all-inclusive by any means, but I'd like to give us some of the pots that help refine us tonight. Some of those refining pots, some of those pots where the heat underneath them is heated up, the furnace is heated up, and in those pots is the silver that's going to come out and make the vessels that are meet for the Master's use. What are some of those pots tonight? First of all, tonight I submit to you the first pot is the pot of chastisement. The pot of chastisement. You know, sometimes God has to bring the pot of chastisement into our lives and heats it up and heats it up and heats it up so that He can get rid of the dross, He can get rid of the impurities, He can get rid of the wickedness. Notice in 2 Kings chapter number 18, look at verse number 9. Bible says, and it came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. And at the end of 3 years they took it, even in the sixth year of Hezekiah. That is the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel. Samaria was taken. And the king of Assyria did carry away Israel unto Assyria and put them in Hela and Habor by the river of Gozan and in the cities of the Medes. Notice verse 12. Why did this happen? Now, don't miss it. He's talking about Israel. He's not necessarily talking about Judah at this moment. But look at why this happened to Israel. Verse 12. Why did the refining pot, why was the heat turned up? Why did God allow Assyria to come? Why did Shalmaneser come and besiege Samaria? Because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed His covenant and all that Moses the servant of the Lord commanded, and would not hear them nor do them. So what did God do? What did God have to do? He had to bring the pot of chastisement. Now notice verse number 13. Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced city of Judah and took them. Now what we just read was talking about Israel. Assyria came against Israel. Now in verse number 13, Assyria is coming against Judah as well. Why? Because Judah had sin as well. Because Judah had allowed sin into their nation as well. And God is bringing the refining pot of chastisement. There are pots which purify. And dear friend, tonight, if God brings the refining fire of chastisement in our lives, we ought not get angry, we ought not get mad, and we ought not just throw up our hands. We ought to listen to God, and we ought to repent, we ought to get right with Him, we ought to let that refining pot heat us up and get rid of all the dross. The first pot I submit to us tonight is the pot of chastisement. Chastisement purifies us. But let me give you a second one. Look at chapter number 20 here in 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter number 20. I see the pot of sickness. The pot of sickness. Now, by the way, chastisement and sickness sometimes go hand in hand. Not always. Not always. But sometimes they go hand in hand. Look at chapter 20, verse number 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto what? Unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, by the way, Hezekiah and Isaiah were very close. By the way, Isaiah would have been a pretty good individual to be close to, wouldn't it? The Bible says, the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I give you the third pot, not only the pot of chastisement, the pot of sickness, but thirdly, the pot of prayer. Prayer. And again, all three of those go together. Because when the chastisement comes and the sickness comes, what ought to be one of the first responses? Prayer. Acknowledging God. and saying, God, I acknowledge that You're the only one that can do anything about it. The Bible says in verse number 2, then he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, I beseech Thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before Thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in Thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And if we continue on again for sake of time, all the way down through verse number 11, Hezekiah prays. Hezekiah prays. He asks God to heal him. He asks God to heal him. And does God heal him? He does. He gives him 15 more years. I submit to you, first of all, tonight, the pot of chastisement, the pot of sickness, the pot of prayer. But I submit to you a fourth one tonight that is really the easiest of all of them if we'll just listen. It's the pot of truth. It's the pot of truth. You see, it's truth that will refine us. And it will refine us without the chastisement having to come. You see, if we'll listen to truth and if we'll let the fire of God's Word burn in our lives and burn in our hearts to the point that the dross is removed and let the truth work in our heart to the point where we say, you know what? God's Word says this. That means I need to get rid of this. God's Word says this. That means I need to bring this into my life. God's Word says this. So that means I need to get rid of that association. If we'll do that, we may not have to have the refining pot of chastisement. We may not have to have the refining pot of sickness, the refining pot of truth. Look, if you would, at chapter number 18 once again. We read it just a moment ago. 2 Kings chapter number 18. Verse number 5, the Bible says, He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after Him was none like Him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before Him. Notice verse 6. For He clave to the Lord, and departed not from following Him. Notice this. But kept His commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. Let me read for you in 2 Chronicles chapter number 31, verse number 21. The Bible says, and in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, speaking of Hezekiah, and in the law, and in the commandments, to seek His God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. Don't you think Hezekiah was thinking, you know what? Solomon said, the Proverbs say, that if I will remove wickedness from my presence, from my kingdom, my throne will be established in righteousness. And dear church family, tonight, if we will remove that which is worthless and that which is wicked, the dross and the wickedness, if we'll remove that from our homes and from our churches and from our businesses and from whatever the vessel may be tonight, if we'll remove that from our individual lives, He will establish us in His righteousness. Number one, we see there are contaminants which corrupt. Number two, there are pots which purify. The pot of chastisement, the pot of sickness, the pot of prayer, the pot of truth, the refining fire. You know, sometimes the pots just come because God's just trying to make us better. It's not necessarily, there may not be sin. It's not a pot of chastisement. It's not necessarily a pot of sickness. It's just God Almighty is trying to purge away not the sin, but the dross, that which is worthless. The things that we've allowed to attach themselves to our lives that aren't sin, but they're not helpful. They're not profitable. They're not productive in our Christian lives. And sometimes God just brings things and He's trying to get rid of the dross. He's trying to make us better. And boy, hey, let me ask you, do you feel like sometimes, boy, Satan's just, he's put both feet on top of you sometimes? Do you ever feel like that? Maybe it's just the Lord trying to make us stronger. Maybe it's just the Lord trying to refine us. Isn't that what Job said in the book of Job? He said, when I am tried, what did he say? I shall come forth as what? Gold. He said, when I am tried, what's going to come forth is gold. It's a vessel that's fit for the master's use. The finest for the finer. Well, sometimes you just feel like the devil has just, boy, he's just got his knees on your shoulders and has had you pinned down and has all of his weight on top of you. Maybe God's just trying to purify. And God has allowed things to come. It's just trying to make you better. Just trying to make you stronger. Just trying to make you trust Him. What did the Bible say here in 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 5? He, Hezekiah, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. That's a pretty big statement. Who was before him? Now, you could say, well, he's talking about the kings of Judah. He's not talking about David or Solomon. I don't know, but it says neither any that were before him. When it comes to the matter of trust, when it comes to the matter of cleaving to him, he trusted God. Let me give you the third thing. We're done tonight. Number one, there are contaminants which corrupt. Number two, there are pots which purify. Number three tonight, there is silver which shines. You know what comes forth after the pot is heated up and we allow ourselves to go through the refining fire of God Almighty? You know what comes forth? It's the silver. You know what's left behind? The silver. The finest for the finer. It's the silver that's going to be made into a vessel that's going to be used for the Master. I want you to take your Bibles. I do want you to go to this one verse in 2 Chronicles. And then we're going to go to the New Testament. We'll be done tonight. Would you go to 2 Chronicles 31? I read verse 21 just a moment ago. There is silver which shines. The silver which has gone through the refining fire, the refining pot that has been purified, the dross has been removed, the wickedness has been removed. There is silver which shines. You know what? God wants our homes tonight. God wants our homes to shine. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. There may be some husbands and wives on your street. They need to see some silver shining in a home. They're about to give it up. They're about to bust up. And maybe you might be the silver. You and your wife or you and your husband might be the silver that they look at and that is shining brightly. And they look and say, man, why can't we have that? Why can't our marriage be like that? And maybe God will give you the opportunity just to come alongside them and say, hey, it's nothing about us. It's all about the one we serve. It's all about the one we serve. Look at 2 Chronicles 31. Let me say this. Our worth, listen, don't miss this. Our worth, we're talking about the silver here. Our worth is always based upon our attitude toward truth. Our worth, and I'm going to show you that in just a moment. But our worth is always based upon our attitude toward truth. And what I mean by that, our worth as a vessel is always based upon our attitude toward truth. Look here in 2 Chronicles 31, verse 20. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah. And notice this. And wrought that which was, what's the word there? Good and right and truth. Three pretty good words there, aren't they? When the Bible describes the reign of Hezekiah, and yeah, we know at the end of his reign he did some things probably he shouldn't have done, and his son was Manasseh, we know about Manasseh, but when the Bible describes Hezekiah, it uses three words. That which he did was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. There is silver which shines. Now, take your Bible, one more passage, we're done tonight, the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You say, Pastor, that's all Old Testament. Okay, let me give you a New Testament passage. We'll read this and we'll be done. If we will allow the pots to purify us, then we will be the vessels of silver which shine the way God desires for them to. Whatever that silver is made into, whatever kind of vessel that silver is made into, maybe a serving platter, maybe a serving pitcher, doesn't maybe a sword. I don't know. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of what? Of wood and of earth. And some to honor and some to dishonor. That's why I made the statement, our worth is always based upon our attitude toward truth. The vessels of gold and silver are the ones who have a right attitude toward truth. The vessels of wood and earth, hey, our works, as Corinthians said, the gold, silver, and precious stones, the fire's going to come, they're going to last. But the wood, hay, and stubble, which sometimes we produce in our lives as Christians, the Bible says the fire's going to fall. What's going to happen? It's going to be burned up. Nothing's going to be left. There's not going to be anything to throw and cast at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our worth is always based upon our attitude toward truth. Verse 21. Notice this, if a man therefore purge himself from these, the wood and the earth, the dishonor. If a man therefore purge, and by the way, it goes even further back in the chapter, but he says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto what? Honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use. The finest for the finer. And prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. You see, God wants some silver shining out there so that those individuals who are opposing themselves. My wife and I were talking to someone today, and they were talking about this individual. It was her great aunt, and they were talking about this individual, and this lady told everybody. This lady told everybody before she died, she said, yeah, I know I'm going to hell. This is a senior lady. It's not some 20-year-old lady. This is a senior lady. Yeah, I know I'm going to hell. But I'm enjoying the time I'm having now. You know what that is? That's an individual who is opposing themselves. That's what the Bible says here in 2 Timothy 2. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. You may be the silver that'll shine forth. I may be the silver that'll shine forth to that individual who is opposing himself, who doesn't want to have anything to do with God. And God peradventure might allow them repentance. Verse 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him. At His will. There are contaminants which corrupt. A contaminant is that which is worthless, is that which is wicked. There are pots which purify us. Sometimes it's chastisement, sometimes it's sickness, sometimes it's prayer. Fire's turned up, and boy, we spend time in prayer. And if we'll allow it, truth will purify us every time. That's what Ephesians 5:26 says. It says, the washing of the water of the Word. It's the Word that washes us, that purifies us. And then what's going to come forth from the refining fire? Silver, which shines. Let me read the two verses again and we're done. Proverbs 25, verses 4 and 5. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Father, thank You for Your Word tonight. What a blessing. What a thought to think about Hezekiah having his men copy these very words out. And possibly these may be the very words that penetrated his heart, that helped him to be the king that he was, the king that clave to You with all of his heart, the king that trusted You, the king that did that which was good and right and truth. Before You. And Father, I pray that that would be us tonight, that we would get rid of the dross, that we would remove the wicked from our kingdoms, whatever that kingdom may be. Maybe it's our home, maybe it's our place of business, maybe it's a school, whatever our circle or our place of influence is, Lord, may we remove the wicked, that which is wicked, so that we can be established in righteousness. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for your word tonight, how it helps us and teaches us. Father, I pray that you'd hear us as we go to prayer here in just a moment. Father, I pray that you would help the business meeting tonight. May everything be done decently and in order. And Lord, we know it will be, and we'll thank you for it. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Let's take some time and pray. And then we'll get everybody back in here about 8:05 maybe. And we'll start our business meeting.